Isabel turned to the parcels he had placed on the study desk, pulled the soft wrapping away, and stood back so that he could see. Slowly he turned his head and looked. The parcels were babies. Two babies. Twins. He blinked, registered dimly that some kind of response was called for, but didn't know what he was supposed to say or do. "Oh, Charlie, wake up, for goodness sake!" His sister took both his hands in hers and dragged him into a madcap dance around the room. She swirled him around and around and around until the dizziness started to clear his head, and when they came to a halt, she took his face in her hands and spoke to him. "Roland's dead, Charlie. It's you and me now. Do you understand?" He nodded. "Good. Now where's Pa?" When he told her, she was quite hysterical. The missus, roused from the kitchen by the shrill cries, put her to bed in her old room, and when at last she was quiet again, asked, "These babies, what are they called?" "March," Isabel responded. But the missus knew that. Word of the marriage had reached her some months before, and news of the birth. She'd not needed to count the months on her fingers, but she did it anyway and pursed her lips. She knew of Roland's death from pneumonia a few weeks ago, knew, too, how old Mr. and Mrs. March, devastated by the death of their only son and repelled by the fey insouciance of their new daughter-in-law, now quietly shunned Isabel and her children, wishing only to grieve. "What about Christian names?"
"Adeline and Emmeline," said Isabel sleepily.
"And how do you tell them apart?"
But the child widow was sleeping already. And as she dreamed in her old bed, her escapade and her husband already forgotten, her virgin's name was restored to her. When she woke in the morning, it would be as if her marriage had never been, and the babies themselves would appear to her not as her own children, she had not a single maternal bone in her body, but as mere spirits of the house.